You know, on Friday night, Andy gave a message that is so, I think, near and dear to my heart, has to do with what happened here on Friday night. And he talked about the sense of urgency that we have about sharing the gospel with others. And the more I live in Silicon Valley, and I've been here since 1975, the more I realize how lost this world is. So we bring up our pastor, Andy Burnham.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. And thanks to JP, too. We got together over at the Soderbergh House last night. And I would encourage you to go down to the table afterwards and find out more about what God is doing in different places around the world. He's called us, yes, he's called us here to Palo Alto, but perhaps some of you, he's also putting it on your heart to help others in other places in the world. So please go down, ask JP some questions. He loves God deeply. He's also got a great sense of humor. So I always know he's a great guy to talk to. This is, you know, before I get into my regular questions or whatever. No, the wrong direction. It's always counterintuitive. It's still counterintuitive. This is my 41st wedding anniversary today. Yeah, that is a moonchild. Her real name is Brigitte. In German, you pronounce every vowel. It's spelled like Bridget, but in German, it's Brigitte. And I was married to her for 2 years before I could actually say her name correctly. But that's the reception, the party after our wedding, and she's in her Mexican wedding dress. And how many of you, the guy there, how many of you would say this guy is pretty likely to become a pastor someday? How many of you would vote for axe murderer? It's kind of like, so a testimony to God's grace, God's mercy. My wife is a tremendous expression of God's grace to me. I'm sure I would have been dead years ago without her. So she's been with me through some wonderful chapters, but also some pretty challenging chapters. So want to thank her and ultimately thank God for bringing her into my life. Now, while you're looking at that and contemplating, Andy, last week, what did we do last week? Who was here last week or thinks they might have been? We had a healing service last week. A number of people came up. It was pretty moving to hear the things that people had to say and the privilege of being able to pray for folks. But the larger thing is, what book of the Bible are we in? We had a little bit of a break last week. We'll have a break next week. John. That very unenthusiastic. We're some, it's kind of like, you know, what book of the Bible? John. It's kind of some enthusiasm. What chapter of the Gospel of John are we in?
11.
We are about to start chapter 11. And who remembers who taught? Not last week, but the week before.
Dave Gilroy.
No, not Dale. Dave Gilroy.
Dave Doran.
Not Dale.
Eric.
Eric. Boy, see, you spend all this time preparing, and then 2 weeks later, people have no clue. So it can be very humbling to be a teacher when you realize, okay, 2 weeks from now. We do love Eric. Now, the even more painful question that I always ask, who remembers anything that Eric said? And if so, what, he announced the healing service. No, I don't know. Who remembers anything? This is open book, by the way. Elsie's looking.
Find your path.
The only thing I remember is the
same. We should find our path.
Find a path? Okay. There's some nodding of heads. There's some blank looks out there. Eric, do you remember what you talked about?
I think God,
you think you may have been here? Yeah.
Do it again.
It was very good. It made a deep impression on a subconscious level. Yeah. Hey, Rob?
I don't think Andy's
got any
deep prayers.
I can't remember the third one. Something like believe the works, believe the testimony, and something like believe because of...
You're a sheep.
You're a sheep. Yeah, that's right.
So Jesus is in at the end of chapter 10. He's in Jerusalem at Hanukkah, the day of dedication, they called it. And the religious leaders say, hey, tell us plainly, who are you? Are you the Christ? Or are you not the Christ? And he says, look, I've been telling you, but you won't believe. But if you don't believe what I've said, believe because of the miracles, because of the works that I have done. And in the course of the conversation, short version, they basically say, you're making yourself out to be God. And for them, that's blasphemy. For somebody to stand up and basically say, I am God. That upset the Jewish leaders. And at the end of chapter 10, they tried to seize him. But Jesus can be like, kind of like a bar of soap. I mean, he's a pretty slippery. His hour had not yet come, and so he slipped out of Jerusalem and went down by the Jordan River. Okay, it's about 21 miles from Jerusalem down to the Jordan River. And as best as commentators can figure, chapter 11 starts maybe a couple months after chapter 10. Okay, so we've had a little bit of a break. I never get this thing right. Today we're going to be looking at about a question. When God delays. You ask God for something, but guess what? He doesn't answer you right away. Have any of you ever felt that way? The rest of you, you will. A lot of times, especially in America, we want what I call fast food Christianity. I drive up, I place my order, and 5 seconds later, I'm expecting God to answer my prayers. And sometimes he does that. Sometimes God does answer right away. But other times, you may find that you're asking God for something, and time passes, and you think God should have answered, and then you start becoming perhaps even disappointed in God. I prayed, I called out to God in my hour of need, I needed something, and God was silent. God did not answer. But we're going to find out that delays don't necessarily mean denials. Delays do not necessarily mean denials. Yeah, David?
You know, Andy, he may not answer you in a way you recognize, though. He may answer you, but you just may not recognize
yeah.
the way you ask.
And part of it's going to be, God may answer in a package you didn't expect. It's going to look different. Yeah, what's your name again?
Tammy.
Tammy? Yeah, go ahead.
I think he answers, but sometimes he says not right now, or that's
yeah.
the wrong question.
Yeah, yes, no, or not now.
Right.
So there's kind of a variety. He's going to answer you one way or the other. Yes, no, not now. It may look different than which. A lot of times people. Yeah, go ahead.
Or you're asking the wrong question.
Or you're asking the wrong question. And a lot of times I think for all of us, it's, Lord, I want to do your will.
But
the reality is, I'm hoping my will is the same as your will. I want you to be the genie in my magic lamp, granting my 3 wishes. I want to snap my fingers. I want God to jump. I want to play some music. I want God to start dancing. I want God to co-sign on my agenda. And if he doesn't co-sign on my agenda, he must not love me. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I always save the prayers for myself last. I pray for everybody else first. And those that come last come first. So I pray for myself last. I pray everybody else does well.
And a lot of what we'll find out is getting outside of your own head. Start thinking about other people. Christianity is about selfless love. Lord, yeah, he does appreciate my prayers about me. He cares about me too. But help me also to care about people. Okay, let me get one more and then we'll get away from the word delay.
Yeah. He knows what you need more than you do. Sometimes you're not asking the right thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes if he answers your prayer, I mean, sometimes you might be glad later on that he didn't answer
it. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes God's protecting you. And sometimes people say God disciplines you by answering your prayers sometimes. That's what you want? Okay, let me give it to you. How's that working for you? Yeah. Okay, we're going to start off. We're going to be, as we typically, how many of you think we're going through the Gospel of John really quickly? How many of you think we're taking kind of a leisurely journey through the Gospel? Okay, this will be leisurely. So we're continuing. We're going to be about 4 weeks, I think, in the story of Lazarus being, well, this is a spoiler alert, raised from the dead.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Okay, so, but we're going to, it's going to take us a while to get there. Take your time. Yeah, I was telling Eric last night, I'm usually wound up to Silicon Valley speed. And I went up to Lake Tahoe a while back, and I went down to get a pizza for the family, and I walk into the pizza parlor, and I say to the woman at the cash register, you know, my name's Andy, is my pizza ready? And she goes, your pizza will be ready soon. Like, Andy, slow down. You don't have to be so wound up all the time. Ed's always talking, Mad Hatters of Silicon Valley, I'm late for a very important date. Okay, we're going to start with and in parentheses, an apparently urgent need. Some of you may feel like you have an urgent need. We're talking, and I was talking, maybe I don't know any of you were talking, but I was talking about urgency. There is something that requires immediate attention, at least in our view. So we're going to have a situation that is urgent, that appears to require immediate attention. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So we've got this guy Lazarus. He's got a couple sisters, Mary and Martha. And then there's this little parenthesis, the one who poured perfume on the Lord's feet. We're not going to get there till chapter 12. Okay, so this is a little foreshadowing. We're going to find out she's going to be thankful for what Jesus did, and she's going to express it in this way that we'll talk about if we ever get to chapter 12. Okay. The sisters send word. Now remember, Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem, so it's about 19 miles from Bethany out to the Jordan River. They send word, the one you love is sick. And the word sick there means basically an acute illness. It's not a runny nose. The one you love has a runny nose. He's really sick. This could kill him. Now, from our perspective, that would be an urgent need. Or would from mine. Somebody had a heart attack. Somebody's sick. I'm sending word out to Jesus. I have an urgent need. Okay, what do you... thoughts that come to mind about, has anybody here ever had what they considered to be an urgent need? It requires immediate attention. Okay. Theodore has. Care to elaborate on that, or you look like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I had appendicitis. You know,
yes.
And they had to remove it to save my life.
Yeah. So it required immediate attention. This is urgent. If you love somebody, you would think you would respond to them having an urgent need. It isn't like, okay, he's got appendicitis. I'll stop by next Tuesday and do something about it, maybe. Yeah.
By the way, my mother was in another state at the time. She lived in Washington. So I didn't tell her until I woke up from the surgery. She just freaked out.
Well, yeah, Ed.
Want to come down here.
Yeah, and I was a little off. I mean, one of my daughters one time, I called her up when she was in college. There was just a message on the phone that said, I've gone skydiving. Now, from her standpoint, this is exciting. My wife and I are going, I wish she would have put that on after she had landed, so we're sitting there for about an hour and a half waiting to see if she survived the skydiving thing. Yeah, Beth?
What comes to mind on the urgent need is, especially in the beginning when you're in recovery,
yeah,
it can be moment by moment. You're having to say prayers, yeah, so that you can try to, you know, keep on.
It's right. One day at a time. When I was in my addiction, it's like, you know, I need help, and I need help now. I don't need help next Tuesday. Glad you pay Thursday on for a hamburger today and whatever the old
Wimpy.
Yeah. I need help now. We need help now. Our brother has an acute illness. They know where to turn. They're turning to Jesus. They've sent word out to Jesus, the one you love is sick. Now put yourself in the sister's, this is kind of, at least imagine, your brother's dying, appears to be some kind of terminal acute illness. You're trusting in Jesus, you've sent word to him. What would you expect? I mean, you're just kind of pretend you don't know the whole story, and perhaps some of you don't. Put yourself, what would they be feeling? They've sent probably their fastest servant to do kind of a near marathon race, get out to Jesus. What would you expect Jesus to do? Somebody you love is very, very ill. Yeah, Rick?
Yeah. You expect him to come right away?
Yeah. Whatever you're doing, drop it. This is top priority. Whatever priorities you got, baptizing people out by the Jordan, whatever you got going on, this is more important. This should come to the top of the list.
Well, then I think, people like heard about his reputation, so they're hoping he's the real deal Holyfield.
It's the real deal Holyfield. Yeah, this is a time when I know you love me. This is a time you should respond to my need. Yeah, Veronica?
I just think it's an interesting ask, because there's not a real ask there. It's not, hey, Lord, we need you. It's the one you love.
Yes. Yeah. And we know we can count on you. It's not about us. It's about our brother that we love dearly, and we know you love him too. I love Kathy.
And it's what we think love looks like.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of it we're going to start to get into, I think earlier to Tammy's point, sometimes love doesn't look the way we think it should look. Right? And this is where faith is going to come in for all of us. Do you continue to have your faith in God even when he doesn't respond the way you think meets your definition or my definition of love? Yeah, Theodore? Talk loudly, I can't hear it. Otherwise, I'll answer the question that you didn't ask. Yeah.
But based on the text, it doesn't seem like he's being very comforting. It's just like saying, oh, don't worry, it's no big deal, and it's going to make me look good.
Yeah. Well, let me get to Jesus' response. We call it predictive reading skills. What would you predict will happen? Is Jesus going to drop everything and run back to Bethany? Or is he going to do a long distance healing? We've seen that in places where he healed a centurion's son and didn't even have to be there. He doesn't have to get back to Bethany. He could just kind of go, okay, I've healed him. Come on. The mystery clicker. There we go. Whoops. So we went from an apparently urgent need to an apparently strange response, at least as I was reading through it. It says, now, this reaffirms, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, here is the weird line. When he heard that Lazarus was sick with this acute illness, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. That's where Bethany's located. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back? Jesus answered with this little expression that we'll try to unpack in a bit. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. Okay, start at the beginning. This is the one you loved. And then it confirms it. Now Jesus loved him. It wasn't like they thought that he loved him and just says, Jesus actually didn't care about this guy particularly much. So he delayed for a couple days because, this guy was just kind of a loser, failure, reject. And so I don't. It confirms he loved the sisters and he loved Lazarus. And then it says, so when he heard that this guy who he really loves was sick, he stayed 2 more days. What do you, this is the, This is the mind-boggling thing. There's an acute need from our perspective. Love has been confirmed. And yet, rather than Jesus putting on his track shoes or his track sandals or whatever they had back then and sprinting over there or doing the long-distance healing, he stayed two more days where he was. Cooled his heels for a while. Yeah, I'll get you next, Andre.
Well, it's kind of a lesson in faith. I mean, Jesus knows in his mind that the guy's fine because he knows everything.
Right.
And he wants them to have some faith.
Yeah, we can build on that one a little bit. Yeah, Andre?
So, Pastor Andy, is that where the slogan come from, never let him see you sweat?
What?
Say that.
Never let him see you sweat. I mean, you know, he's taking his time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and are taking his time. This weird expression about aren't there 12 hours of daylight? The idea is, if I'm doing things in God's timing, what's going to need to happen will happen. I don't have to. I'm going to be doing it walking in the light. I'm doing what God's having, that God the Father is having me do. It's only when I'm not doing what He wants me to do, that's when I stumble. That's the whole part there. Yeah, Kathy?
In the passage before, it talked about that God would be glorified.
Yes.
And that's where the goal is.
And this is where kind of we're pushing, I think, a little bit with the mourning. Remember in chapter 9 where the guy who was born blind, it wasn't his fault, but that the works of God might be made manifest. There's some sort of picture. God wants to do something perhaps even more glorious than you think. God, we'll get into that a little bit later. God may have bigger plans. God may be wanting to do a bigger miracle than perhaps the one you think He ought to be doing. And that's where the faith comes in. God, help me to keep the faith. I'm praying for this. You seem silent. You seem distant. You seem far away. You seem like you're unresponsive to me. But help me to keep the faith, even when it seems like you're delaying and making me cool my heels. And we're going to find out that the brother actually does die. Have you ever felt let down by God?
Yeah, absolutely.
God let you down. You were praying. You were praying for something that was a legitimate need. And God disappointed you.
He
let you down. Okay. It's a tough.
I felt let down, but when I look backwards,
yeah,
I see why you didn't.
Yeah. Yes. And that's the hindsight being 20/20. And I trust that when we get, and I know some of you have lost kids here. Yeah. And my prayer for you, there was no raising from the dead. Whether it's Jason, whether it's Brian, whether it's others. But I'm trusting that our sight from eternity will still be that God did something glorious, even though it perhaps did not meet our definition of something glorious.
Okay.
That's a hard thing. You know, I'm sure I've shared here many times that God has each one of us in the school of faith. God's objective is to deepen your faith and to deepen my faith. And you're in school. And some of the lessons are pretty hard lessons. And who knows, Howard has to know this because he's heard it too many times. My lower division, upper division in grad school, Eric's nodding his head like, Andy, I've heard you say this. Lower division, Gavin's smiling. Lower division in the school of faith, you have a problem, you pray, the problem goes away. Upper division, you have a problem, you pray, the problem doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Grad school, you have a problem, you pray, the problem gets worse. And some of you are doing graduate school levels in the school of faith. You've prayed, problem hasn't gone. Larry is talking, he's been having this horrible pain for the last 2 months. Got some relief after our healing service last week, but then it came back again. But the objective, God's objective, is that are you going to keep the faith? Paul calls it the fight of faith. I don't think he calls it the fight of faith just to make a pretty poetic image. Sometimes it's a fight to keep the faith, and you're going through hard stuff, and it doesn't go away, and it gets the circumstances at least get even worse. So imagine, well, let me move on to the next slide, otherwise. Well, how long is the service this morning?
I came a long way to make it longer.
After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, no sugarcoating, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, which means twin, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go," here's the optimist, "that we may die with him." Okay, so what do you make of this? Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Jesus knows he's dead. He puts it as an image because, quite frankly, for Jesus, raising somebody from the dead is no bigger deal than waking somebody up from sleep. He's raised two people before this. There was the Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5, and the son of the widow of Nain in Luke chapter 7. Those were kind of immediately or soon after death. We're going to find that he's not going to raise Lazarus until 4 days after he's dead. Thoughts on kind of things that are there? Yeah, Jan?
I have a question. Is this the Thomas that said, "I need to see the nail"?
This is your famous doubting Thomas. Oh. Same guy.
Yeah.
And at least Ray Stedman, when I was reading his commentary on that, he's just kind of your pessimist. Okay, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and we're going to die, but we're going to die with him. Or unless I see him, I'm not going to believe. Same guy. Yeah, Jan?
Well, it seems like the disciples just plain out don't want to go. Because in the previous passage, they're saying, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Why do you want to go? You're going to get killed or from the people who are out to get you. And now they're like, oh, if he just fell asleep, he'll be fine. We don't need to go. And then it's like, oh, so they're not saying we may die with him being Lazarus. They're saying we may die with
Jesus. Yes. That word, so we may.
They're just concerned about the danger. They're not concerned about Lazarus a bit.
What do you think about that? Looking forward, it's all about me. I might die too. Okay, I guess I'll go with him. But there's this kind of. How many of you, by the way, would consider yourselves pessimists? You know, always catastrophizing. You're always going to the worst case scenario, and then you assume that the worst case scenario is going to happen. So you go there? Yeah, Tammy?
I think it's kind of shown, like you said, I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. That way you can't say it was something else. That way when I do wake him up, you're going to believe that it really happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of a way to prove that this is, you know.
Yeah, and two, if he'd been there, it's kind of like, well, he's here and he's not healing the guy.
Right.
Maybe he just doesn't, he's kind of lost his kind of magic or whatever it is, lost his mojo or something. Is that a hand up, Terry, or is that just you?
Oh, no, I'm just this,
like I say, it's like an auction. If you tug on your ear, I call on you. Yeah, Zach?
I think this is a bigger question that I think comes up a lot more than we think it does, right? This idea of why didn't God save me or save this? Or save, it starts in the Garden of Eden, right? Why didn't he just make it all right so that nothing can ever happen.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's trying to grow us to see that nothing is impossible. Nothing's even hard for God. Right? He can do all things, and so we have to, like, grow in faith. And it's an honor for Lazarus to be in this story because Jesus loved him so much, but I'm sure in the moment it seemed like it was a disaster.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. We're in the moment right now. And Joel's saying, you know, sometimes it's only when we look back later that we see the hand of God, that God was in whatever you're going through.
Amen.
Right now. I've said it before, but because I think it bears being said. that God's either causing or allowing everything to happen in your life and mine. He's either actively causing it or he is allowing them to eat the fruit in the Garden of Eden. He created the whole thing knowing that in advance. But no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're more than conquerors in Christ. In 2 Corinthians, he always leads us in triumphal procession. If God has brought you to it, God's going to bring you through it. Now, maybe it's your death. The Apostle Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain.
It says, for those who submit themselves unto him.
Yeah, and all things work together for good. For those who've given our lives to Christ. But if you start to have that sense of whatever God's causing or allowing, even when he's delaying, even when he's disappointing me, Lord, there will be some time, maybe when we get to eternity, when we look back and realize God has done something incredibly glorious. God is going to do something glorious in your life and mine. Don't walk by feelings, walk by faith. Right? Yeah, case.
Plus he said in James to be thankful.
Yeah, hate that verse. You know? Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Yeah, because God's doing something. Don't go by your feelings. Your feelings will tell you it doesn't look like love, taste like love, smell like love. Go by faith. He's doing something. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so his ways are higher than my ways. The human mind is the most incredible of God's creations, but compared to the knowledge of God, it ain't much. Got a whole bunch of hands up here. Let me kind of start this direction here. Yeah, Tammy?
So this is biblical, but secularly speaking, you can think of losing children.
Yeah.
Megan, whatever her last name was, or Megan's Law.
Megan's Law.
It's happened to her so that there was more awareness, and now there's ways to combat that. I mean, it probably is no comfort to their parents, but other parents are able to be comforted because that happened.
Yeah, and
so that's, I mean, it's horrible, but it's...
And that's, I mean, that's the prayer, and I tell people, too, who have lost precious loved ones, number one, they're fine. Number two, we'll see them again. The pain, the very real pain that we're experiencing now, I don't mean to trivialize or be dismissive of that, but we have a hope that goes beyond death, and part of the story of Lazarus is we believe in someone who has conquered death, and our loved ones who have died in Christ are doing better than they've ever done, and the separation we feel now will end. There will be a day when the Lord will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death or mourning or sorrow or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away, as it says in Revelation. Let me get Dave, and I'll get you next hour.
You know, I've always questioned the Lazarus four-day thing in my mind, because it's like, if God is capable of everything, and Jesus all that, how come he doesn't ask? I mean, if I die and go to heaven, and we know who rules this world, I don't know if I want to come back.
Yeah, I don't think our loved ones want to come back. Oh, please bring the, you know. And
Lazarus, do you want to come back to this world? Or you want to?
Yeah, no, I'm good where I am. You guys come join me later, you know. So like I said, the people who have died in Christ, and I know we've had five deaths in the last 2 months here. That sort of sense of they have a plane ticket to the same destination I do. It's just they took an earlier flight. But we'll be catching up. We'll be meeting up down around the bend. Not that all far in the future. There was a hand up somewhere. Oh, Howard had a hand.
Yeah. I like when you told me before that the feeling should be the caboose.
Yeah. The people say the feeling should be the caboose, not the engine. Do the next right thing, which is to walk by faith. And then hopefully your feelings will come along later. You know, I've given the lecture here. I don't care about your feelings. I actually do. Okay. I just say that to kind of rattle people a bit. I said, you don't feel like coming to church. I don't care. You don't feel like coming to a Bible study. I don't care. Just go there and hopefully you'll find life, and then your feelings will start to change. You spent your whole life following your feelings. How's that working for you?
Yeah.
As an addict, high impulsivity, I feel things deeply, then I act on those feelings without considering the consequences. We need to find a new way of living, which is by faith, not by feelings. We're getting late here, so let me... Or how long are we going to stay today? I guess. Yeah, Kelly?
Yeah, I was looking at it that God gave us, you know, a lot of wisdom, each one of us, and intelligence, so we think, right? And so our understanding of what's going on has a very much of an urgent situation in our life, but God's understanding totally overrides that when we put our faith in it. Because I say now, I understand it because I've gone through all these problems and such. I have a flat tire in the parking lot right now. It's a little problem. It's an understanding. Yeah. God goes, somebody will come help you.
Is anybody here going to go help Kelly? No hands. Yeah. It says, you know, it says in Proverbs. Yeah. It says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your paths straight, or he will direct your paths. Don't lean to your own understanding. This is the way I understand it. Help me to keep trusting. Help me to keep having faith. Help me to keep acknowledging him, and he'll get me where I need to be. Here, Rick?
So I'd like to give a little bit more charitable interpretation of what Thomas responded. I think he understood that, you know, God was calling for, or Jesus was calling for, you know, God's glory. More was going to come of this. And so since Jesus said, Lazarus had died, he said, well, if God's glory is going to come out of this, well, let's get God some of that glory for ourselves. Let's do that too. Let's go die so that God may be glorified from that. And the problem with that is that we think that we can get glory by doing what somebody else did. And yet, God has a different path for each one of us. We can't do the same thing. God doesn't work the same way on every person. And so we find our own path. We have to listen to God and follow what he's calling us to do, not what somebody else did.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is for each one of us to pray. What's God calling you to do? And to go, and it may be different. He may be calling me, he's gifted me different spirit, a different gifting. You're answerable to him, not to Andy. You need to hear the voice of the Creator calling you to do something, and then be obedient to that, whether you're going to Uganda or wherever. Okay, well, let me close it off here. Lord, I do thank you for this morning. And I do pray, especially for those that feel like you are delaying, or you've disappointed them, or you seem like you just don't care, Lord. Deepen our faith. Help us to keep trusting, to have faith, to keep believing, even through the very difficult times, knowing that you are doing something glorious, even though we don't see it right now. Lord, help us to have our eyes fixed on you. Help us not to be like Peter when he got his eyes off of you and he began sinking when he was walking on water. Help us not to be distracted by the wind and the waves, but deepen our faith today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andy.